forever. Amen. It's time for our Bible reading now, and we are in Psalm 103. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, the words are going to be on the screen as well. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we're in a series on Sunday mornings looking at the emotionally healthy life. And this morning we're looking at Psalm 103, which is one of the most well-known, one of the most well-loved Psalms of David. It's more unusual than David's Psalm, most of David's Psalms, because most of David's Psalms deal with specific issues and situations in his life. You might think of Psalms like Psalm 51. Many of them deal with issues regarding his enemies who were attacking him. Psalm 103 isn't like that. It's a general psalm. It's not dealing with a specific issue. And it's a general psalm which is so helpful for us because it gives us a general solution to the emotionally healthy life. See, how do you have an emotionally healthy life? Each week we've been looking at what an emotion and looking at how we can handle it, how we can deal with it. And we've been looking at the Psalms for that. But what if there was one main thing that we could do? One main key to the emotionally healthy life? Well, actually, there is. And this psalm gives it. See, this psalm helps you respond well in every situation and circumstance that you find yourself. Whether you find yourself in good times or in bad times. This psalm helps you. It helps you deal with grief and prosperity. And anger and anxiety. helps you deal with frustration and sadness and relational difficulties. It helps you sleep well at night. So what's the answer from this psalm to the emotionally healthy life? What is the key that this psalm gives us? Well, it's this: thankfulness. Giving thanks can make you a happier, emotionally healthier person. That's what Psalm 103 tells us. And so the question we have to ask is, how do you give thanks? Where does thankfulness come from? How can we have hearts that are full of thankfulness so that we can be emotionally healthy people? Well, the psalm tells us thankfulness comes from three things. You need to remember God's benefits, review God's benefits, and respond to God's benefits. Remember God's benefits, review God's benefits, and respond to God's benefits. First of all, remember God's benefits. David begins the psalm with these words: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." There's a link here between these first two verses. David wants his soul to praise and bless God. And how is his soul going to do that? Verse 2, by not forgetting God's benefits. That's a double negative, not forget. What's it mean? It means to remember. Remember God's benefits, my soul. Remember here is an active thing. It's calling something back to mind. It's making something front and center. It's filling your mind with it. David says, soul, fill yourself, fill your mind with the benefits of God. Now, why does he say that? Why does he call himself and call his soul to actively remember God's benefits? There's a number of reasons. Let me give you four reasons why he does that. First of all, because we are prone to forget God's benefits. Many of us have had an experience in life that's left a deep impression on us. Often it's at a time of illness. And you experience, you have a time of illness, and you say to yourself at that time, wow, I do feel my mortality. I feel that life is short. And I want to make the most of the rest of my life. I want to live deliberately. I want to live more seriously. And then a few months pass, and a couple of years pass, and you forget what happened. You don't forget that you were ill, but you forget the impression that illness had on your heart. You forget the experience. It's not you've forgotten what's happened, but you've forgotten the way you felt. And David's saying the same thing here. He's saying, I don't want to forget the experience of God's benefits. We're prone to forget. There's a second reason, and that's because we remember the bad things that happen more than the good things that happen. If four people come to me after the service and three of them say to me, Jumpy, loved your sermon this morning, cracking sermon, it was great, really spoke to me. And then a fourth person comes to me and says, I was just bored by your sermon this morning, Jumpy. It's dreadful. When I go to bed tonight, which of those four comments is going to be front and center in my mind? There's something in us that is prone to listen more carefully to the criticism and the negative than the positive. It's as if, like, the positive comments come to you on audio, but the negative comments are on video. They leave a more lasting impression on your hearts. You know, maybe when you were brought up in a very positive environment and people were making positive comments about you. Your family was making positive comments about you. But that one negative comment that your father made or that your friend made has stuck with you and left a lasting impression on your mind, and you play it over and over again. Leads you to self-pity. You see, the reason we do that is because of sin. Our hearts are turned in on themselves. And because of that, it's always the negative that we're focused on. How many of us are more focused on our own sins than we are on the benefits of God? God's goodness in forgiveness. But the third reason we need to remember is because what you remember in your heart directs your life. You know, David calls out in verse 1, "My soul bless the Lord. All that is within me bless his holy name." You see, David isn't just happy for his mouth to praise God, but wants the depth of his soul to praise God, because he knows that what you think deep in your heart affects the way you live. What you remember in your heart, the words that play over and over again in your heart, they just affect the way you live. And so if your heart is centered on the love and the grace of God, then you will live as a happy person, a content person. But if your heart is focused and centered on wrong things that people have done to you, then you'll be a person of bitterness. And that in turn affects how you approach difficulties. You have power and strength to go through difficulties if in your heart you're constantly remembering God's goodness and love and grace. But if you are constantly remembering the wrong things that people have done to you, the injustices that you've experienced in your life, you're going to struggle at times of difficulty. But the fourth reason we should remember God's benefits is because, why wouldn't we? God's benefits are so great and so wonderful, there's nothing to compare to them. To remember God's benefits is like an engaged woman being told to remember her engagement ring. I've never worn an engagement ring, but I've been told that if you're engaged as a woman and you've got an engagement ring, you don't forget it. You know where you put it. You're constantly looking at it. Or if you receive a check for an awful lot of money, you know where you put that check until you bank it. Well, God's benefits are far greater than an engagement ring and far greater than a check of a lot of money. And in verses 3 to 5, David highlights six great benefits. These benefits describe the gospel. There are six reasons why we shouldn't forget what God has done. First of all, we're told that God forgives all our iniquities. Do you feel guilty for something that you've done? Well, God is a forgiving God. He can forgive your sins. In fact, he can forgive every single sin. He heals all your diseases. This is different than forgiveness. When it comes to forgiveness, God always forgives immediately. Sometimes he heals, but he doesn't always. Because God is most concerned about our relationship with him, and sin destroys it. That's why he forgives. But suffering can sometimes deepen it, which is why he doesn't always heal. But actually, one day he will heal, and heal completely. He redeems your life from the pit. This is talking about the resurrection from the dead. Are you afraid of death? Of dying? Well, God is a God of eternal life, and he will raise you up one day, so you don't need to fear death. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. God is the sort of God that makes his children, who he's adopted into his family, kings and princes to rule with him forever. Are you someone who is dishonored by other people and shamed by them? You're going to be honored by God forever. And he satisfies you with good. Are you discontent with life? Well, God is good, and he will satisfy you with himself. And do so, finally, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The picture here is one of vigor and strength. Sometimes we can get tired and weary in life. But God, by his Spirit, can renew your strength, even as you get older and your body's wasting away. David calls upon himself and calls upon you and me to remember God's benefits. So often the difficulties and discouragements and sadness and anxieties that we feel in life are because we do not remember God's benefits to us. But it's not just enough to remember God's benefits. We need to review them. I see, it's possible to say to me, okay, Jumpy, I hear what you're saying, but I do know God's benefits, and yet I'm still sad. I'm still worried. I'm still angry. I'm still bitter. Well, I want to say that the reason for that is because although you've remembered God's benefits in a general way, you've not reviewed them. See, that's what David does in verses 6 to 19. He explores God's benefits. He mulls on God's benefits. He's like a dog with a bone chewing on them in order to get the goodness out. He's focusing and exploring on God's benefits and exploring God's benefits to such an extent that those benefits move his heart until he bursts out into praise and thanksgiving for them. See, it's possible to know but not to know, to listen but not to listen. You know, it's possible to have the footy on the radio and to be listening away to the radio and your football team play. How do I know whether I'm actually listening to the radio or not? Because when Blackburn Rovers score, I cheer. But if Blackburn Rovers scored and I'm listening to the radio, but I'm not really listening to it, then you'll get no response from me because I've not actually listened. It's possible to listen and hear God's benefits and to know God's benefits and yet not to review them, not to take in what God is saying and let your heart be changed by it. He goes through a number of benefits in verses 6 to 19, does David. I'm just going to pick out three of them. I want us to review three benefits. And as we review them, I want your heart to be stirred by what God has done. The three benefits I want us to pick up on are in verses 11 to 13. And they show us the big picture of what God has done for us because they focus on God's love. They focus on the measure of God's love, the story of God's love, and the nature of it. First of all, the measure of God's love. David says this in verse 11, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him." David is saying this. He's saying God's love prevails like the heavens prevail over the earth. Just as in Genesis chapter 6 to 9, we read about Noah's flood and the waters prevailing over the whole earth and covering the world. Well, David here is saying the same is true of God's love. It covers everything. It's always there. God's love is overwhelming. God's love is like a mighty soldier who is fighting on your side 24/7. There's an irresistibility to God's love, which will give you courage and power for every circumstance you find yourself in. I love the picture in Psalm 23 of God's love. At the end of the psalm, David says this. He says, your steadfast love follows me all the days of my life. And actually, our English translations aren't as strong as they could be there, because actually the word is pursue. God's love pursues me all the days of my life. God's love is after you to do you good. It's like a roaring lion. That's the picture in Psalm 23. That's chasing down and hunting down its prey. So that's what God's love is doing. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. But David goes on and talks not only about the measure of God's love, but the story of God's love. He says this in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. That word transgression is the willful rebellion that says no to God. Like the three-year-old child who's told to put their shoes in the shoebox, and they turn around to their mum and say, no. But here we're told that God is a God who forgives that. In the book of Micah, in Micah chapter 7, Micah says that God has sent all our sins into the depths of the sea. Like atomic waste off the Cumbrian coast that is put deep into the sea so that it will do no harm. Well, David goes a step further here. He doesn't just say it's in the depths of the sea, but he says it is as far away from you as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? It's an infinite distance. If you keep going east and keep going east, you will never meet the west. And David is saying the same about your sins. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far your sins are removed from you. In other words, they are gone without a trace. You can't recover them again. You can't locate them. They are infinitely gone. Unconditionally gone. And you say, oh, how is that possible? Well, we know how it's possible through the New Testament, through Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, what was he doing there? Well, it's a story of God's love. The story of God's love involves a man going to the cross and dying on a cross for your sins so that God could punish your sins in him so that you could receive the forgiveness and the grace that comes from that. So that as you repent of your sins and turn from them and put your trust in Jesus Christ, you can know forgiveness. You can know that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed my sins from me. And I know that for sure because Jesus died on the cross for me. But there's a third aspect of God's love we see here, and that's the nature of it. David says in verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. The word compassion here refers to a mother's love. And that's really interesting because here we're told about the perfect father who shows the love of a mother. In other words, this is the perfect parent. This is the perfect parenthood. You see, God isn't just a God who forgives sins, but who adopts us into his family and loves and cares for us as a perfect father and a perfect mother would. You know, even poor mothers and fathers know the sins of their children and yet still love them. And often the weaker a child is, the more difficult they are, the more issues that they have, the more a mother and a father's love goes out to them. Well, God's love is even greater than that. See, God knows you completely. He knows you down to the depths and yet loves you up to the heights. We have a phrase in our house, and we have it written on the wall as well. We love you to the moon and back. Well, God loves you higher than that. That's how vast his compassion and his love is towards you. There's nobody who knows you like God and yet loves you like him. See, God's love is a powerful love, an active love. It's a saving love that forgives you, that adopts you into his family, that leads you through your life and will bring you home to heaven. And it's a full love. There's nothing that can be added to the love of God. It's not like it's lacking something. It's a love of welcome and protection and warmth and strength and faithfulness and steadfastness. And yet deep, deep compassion. That is a love that you as a child of God have forever. There is no love like the love of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we try and sing about it in our songs and hymns, and some of the hymn writers and songwriters get a picture of it or just grasp a little bit of it. Like the hymn, or the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me, is the current of your love leading onward, leading homeward to your glorious rest above. So finally, how do we respond to these wonderful benefits of God? Well, we respond through praise and thanksgiving, through thankfulness. How else can you respond when you know God's great benefits towards you? In fact, as C.S. Lewis said, the writer of the Chronicles of Narnia, he said, you have to praise and thank God for his goodness and benefits. Because thankfulness and praise expresses your enjoyment of God. And it completes it. There's something incomplete about knowing God's benefits until you thank and praise him for them. Just like there's something incomplete about your football team scoring a goal and nobody cheering about it. Well, God has done great things for us, and so we should praise him. That's how David starts the psalm in verses 1 and 2. He calls himself and says, soul, praise God. Soul, burst out into thanksgiving for God. All that is within me, praise and bless him. Then he's remembered and reviewed God's benefits, and now at the end, what does he do? He praises God. In fact, he joins with all nature, with the whole universe, in praising God. In verses 20 to 22, he calls on the angels to praise God. He calls on all nature and creation to praise God. And then he ends up with himself and says, oh my soul, join the choir of creation and praise your maker, who isn't just your maker, but your savior as well. See, as you praise and thank God for what he's done for you, it stirs your heart with joy. It deals with the discouragement that we feel so often in life, and the anxieties and worries and fears of the future. It comforts you at times of grief and sadness, because it takes the focus off yourself and your circumstances and lifts your eyes onto a God who has done immeasurably more for you than you could ever ask or you could ever imagine. If you want to live an emotionally healthy life, be a thankful person. Remember God's benefits to you Review God's benefits and review them until your heart bursts out into praise and thanksgiving for them. Let me pray for us. Lord, you have done great things for us. We thank you for your great love for us in Jesus Christ, forgiving us, adopting us into your family, guiding us through this life and leading us ultimately to heaven. We thank you for what you have done. Lord, may we focus on your great love, which move you to do these things. And as we focus on it, may our hearts be moved and stirred up to thankfulness and praise. And as a result, may we live a much more emotionally healthy life.